I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Seen the sky so blue, the birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos and Ton Bettis with you this morning. We'll be taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can also text us your questions at 57500. Good morning, Ton.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing very well. We have a shorter show today as we make way for the sessions of conference, but it's good to be here. I just wish we could get rid of the smoke because it's so beautiful out there, and the moon this morning was incredible.
It was. Just driving in and that peace and calm in the morning is so nice.
Now, this morning you wanted to start with the plant of the week, City Sprite Zelkova. Tell us about this tree. It's a tree, right?
It is a tree. It's small. And Zelkova trees in general over the last 20 or so years have been gaining in popularity. And the standard Zelkova trees will get 45 feet tall and 35 feet wide, kind of a vase shape. There's a few dwarf varieties out there, and we've discussed one called Wireless in the past. And I hate that name, but it stays under tree line or tree wire or telephone wires. That's why it got its name. And but this one is even smaller, and it's called City Sprite, and it only gets about 15 to 18 feet high and wide.
Okay, where did it get its name?
City Sprite. I think the Sprite isn't referring to the beverage, but to the small size of it, like a pixie.
Okay.
And so what they're trying to say is this works well in park strips and front yards and other limited areas. So if you want to put it nearer your house, I'm not saying right up against, but it's very useful in smaller areas.
Okay. What kind of water does it need?
It needs an average amount of water. I'm not going to say that it's hugely drought tolerant. It is not. So, but if it gets watered every week to 10 days deeply, once it's established, it will be fine.
Okay, you mentioned parking strips. Does that mean that it's okay in full sun?
Oh, yes. It needs full sun to perform well. Most plants do, and it's actually the exception where you have a plant that doesn't work well, you know, that doesn't require sun. It's the exception where they want shade.
I always, you know, I have this west exposure for my front porch, and I have to be really careful what I put actually on the porch just because of the heat that comes off the back wall of the porch.
And that, where you have artificial soil, and the artificial soil doesn't have a water holding capacity like native soil does. Mm-hmm. And so containers on a west or south exposure are usually going to struggle more than something planted in the ground itself.
I see. I put this beautiful brown-eyed Susan on my porch thinking it was going to do really well there, and it didn't do well. I had to move it to the back patio. I was like, okay, this is not a good thing for this poor plant. And it was still moist, but I think just the heat coming off the wall of that porch just really gave it a tough time.
Yeah, and I think it did. It just, sometimes those, especially if you've got a lot of roots to not a lot of soil, they can struggle in really hot situations.
Okay, and people can find out much more about the plant of the week always on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. Ton, we have started this Replant Utah campaign. We all know how many trees were damaged in the recent storm, and we're going to tell folks more about that this morning. We have a special interview that I did with the folks that are sponsoring that campaign. So let's go ahead and have Caitlin play that for us here. We all know that recently Utah suffered one of the most powerful windstorms of our history, and KSL News Radio and Clean Cuts Trees are teaming up to replant Utah. Thousands of trees were lost. Now with me from Clean Cuts Trees is Hampton. And Hampton, such an incredible experience. I mean, so many trees devastated. Give us some advice. When do we know if we can actually, when we should actually replant a damaged tree? How do we know if it's been damaged so much that we can't go ahead and hope that it'll be saved?
It's hard to give a straight blanket answer for that question. It all depends on how much that tree was damaged. You'd be surprised at what trees can withstand. I think it boils down to is what was the purpose of that tree in the first place. If it's a fruit tree that you have, having an uneven and maybe even a little bit ugly of a tree, it's still going to be able to serve its purpose in giving you fruit. If your tree is the centerpiece of your landscape and, you know, we've lost a big piece, the tree's likely going to survive. It might have issues in the future with rot and decay from, you know, that tear out. That's why it's important to get, you know, an arborist out there to make some proper clean cuts. But now that tree might not be serving its purpose as the centerpiece of the yard. Obviously, if the tree has moved in the ground, tipped over at all, that's a bigger sign of fundamental failure in the tree. And propping it back up isn't going to fix that fundamental failure. Whether it's the soil or the tree was improperly planted, those would be the times we would highly recommend to remove the tree and replant.
Right. For many of us, this has us questioning with some of our really tall trees, whether we should consider taking them out right now. I mean, why was it so indiscriminate, the storm in taking out some trees and then not other trees? Like, how do we know if we have a tree that's really in jeopardy?
Yeah. Well, the first thing that we need to do is we can't neglect our trees. They do need attention. Having an arborist come out and give a tree evaluation is a great first step. We can look at the soil, you know, we can do a pH test, make sure that the tree is in the pH range that it needs to be able to absorb all the nutrients. Because if it's the wrong pH, those nutrients can get locked up in the soil and then the tree can't absorb them. Pruning techniques, things that we look out for, you know, are infection. We commonly get, you know, slime flux. We get all sorts of bacterial infections and diseases in trees that we can identify and compensate for with, you know, pruning regimens and things like that. So when some trees were affected and some trees were able to withstand this, the first thing we need to do is make sure that we have a healthy tree to begin with, and that we're keeping our trees healthy. And then if something needs to be addressed, we can catch that early. Any problem that we have in life, if we catch it early enough, it's a lot easier to deal with than when the wind starts blowing.
Right. For those of us who have to replace trees, are there some trees that you believe are better than others? I mean, what should we consider when considering to replant?
Well, I think we all have kind of a favorite tree. Some are better than others in their respective realms. It kind of just comes back to what you want that tree to do for you. If you are looking for a centerpiece in your yard, if you're looking for a privacy wall of trees, if you're looking for something that you can just have nice and big in the backyard for shade, or if you want your tree to produce flowers, a certain color or look or fruit. So first we have to kind of whittle things down to what can grow in Utah, what is hardy for Utah. Utah's USDA Zone 5, which is basically a hardiness scale that lets us know that tree is going to be able to withstand the winter. Then of all those trees, then we can start to whittle down to what the purpose of the tree we want. And then going to your nursery, your local nursery, and having them help you is another good way to whittle down to those final two or three choices.
When people are making their decision, why should they choose a company like yours that provides professional arborists over someone else?
That is a great question. There are a lot of things that I would say are great for do-it-yourself. Tree industry, though, it's a very dangerous profession. It's a very dangerous industry. There's a lot of misinformation. Topping trees, I still see it commonly done. Topping trees is absolutely one of the worst things that you can do to a tree. There was a study done in 2000 by Smiley and Booth, that found that 93% of professionally planted trees were planted too deep. Now, that might come as a shock. Arborists, for the most part, aren't planting trees. We're doing tree care and tree maintenance. And so when we plant a tree, you know, we're going to make sure that that is planted at the proper depth, which is so important, that the soil is prepped, that the tree is safely transported, so that it's going to have the brightest future that it can. A lot of these failures that we had, you know, I believe were due in part to improper planting. You can get girdling roots from planting too deep. That's when some of the roots cross over and strangle out other roots. And then when you don't have a good root system, you don't have that foundation that holds that tree up. And so it's more susceptible to being blown over. We're specifically trained in planting trees. The ANSI, the American National Standard Institute, we have manuals for that we go through trainings on, so that all of our employees are thoroughly trained and qualified to plant trees the proper way.
Hampton, thank you so much for joining KSL News Radio to replant trees here in Utah. We appreciate your help in that. And for folks who don't know, you are the number one tree trimming and removal company in Davis and Weber counties, Clean Cuts Trees. You can get a hold of Clean Cuts Trees at cleancutstrees.com. And Tana Hampton, pretty much reiterating what you said about, you know, it's about planting it well from the beginning and then maintaining your trees and, you know, not letting them get to the point where there's going to be an issue.
It is about that. And, you know, the health of the tree, planting it, especially at the correct depth so those roots can really get out into the soil, are so important.
And we appreciate Clean Cuts Trees for sponsoring our Replant Utah campaign. The number to call with your questions this morning, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America. But this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Anton taking your questions this morning. You can call us at 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. Ton, our first texter asking, what can be used on black clover in the lawn?
Well, I'm assuming black medic is what they meant. And there's a number of things that will need to happen. The first is that if they have black medic going crazy in their lawn, there's something wrong with the management. And so they will need to look at that, look at their irrigation, look at their even their irrigation and mowing hive. Mm-hmm. And get those worked out. But short term, something like T-Zone or 4-Speed XT would work to kill it if they spray correctly. But it seeds like crazy. And so if the lawn is still mostly intact, they can use a pre-emergent in the spring. Probably the one I'd recommend is made by Advanced, and it's called season-long broadleafed weed control. And they would spray that in the spring, and it has a pre-emergent that's better for broadleafed weeds like black medic. But in the meantime, download some fact sheets about lawn management, including, you know, soils, fertilizers, and mowing height, and then go from there.
Yeah, we have this problem in my mother's lawn, and the problem was that the sprinklers went out at a crucial time, and we didn't realize they were out for more than a week. And where the lawn really suffered, of course, some of those weeds just come right up. And you're back to proper management.
We are. We like to get an instant fix, but long-term lawn health is all about management.
Next texter is asking, how late in the year is it okay to lay sod?
Well, it's getting a little bit sketchy. You know, we're early August. The weather was going to hold in the 70s and 80s for the next week. I checked the longer term weather and it's supposed to start to cool down. You know, as long as we're in the 50s, high 50s, 60s, 70s, that grass will root. But the problem is if we get into the low 50s and 40s, the rooting will slow way down and it should survive, but it's getting late enough that unless it's an emergency or they have a homeowners association that's going to fine them for not, I may wait for spring.
Right. It's one of those cases where if you just needed a few pieces just to improve your lawn, it might be okay. But if you're going to invest in your entire yard, it's something you really need to think twice about.
You really do, because especially if you're doing an entire yard, you know, those few pieces you probably could get through, but I'm starting to get really cautious about recommending it.
Okay, Tom, the next texter is asking, they have an emerald green arborvitae, and it's too early in the morning for me to pronounce that. It's grown too large, and they want to know if they can trim it back past the green and still have new green growth.
No, it'll kill it.
Don't do it right now.
Don't do it at all.
At all.
If you prune any conifer into brown, so arborvitae, the pine, spruce, junipers, if you prune into a brown section or past the green needles, you've just killed that spot from growing back. And so they could give it a light haircut, but even they want to wait till spring, but you never want to cut more than about 40% of the new growth off. And so unfortunately, if it's outgrown the area, it may be time to rip it out.
Okay. Next texter wants to know if they can move a black lace elderberry. It's 4 years old and they're wondering if they can move that now.
Not right now. I would give it another 2 or 3 weeks at least, and then go ahead and, you know, late October, early November, once the leaves have dropped, as long as it hasn't gotten huge, dig it and get as much as the root ball as you can. And you're going to have to go beyond where the original bucket or pot was that you took it out and move it then.
All right, let's take our first caller of the morning. That would be Jim in Bountiful. Good morning, Jim. How can we help you this morning?
I hear that you're not supposed to pick grapes until it freezes once. But my grapes are getting kind of sweet and ripe, and I'm wondering, can I pick them or should I wait till the first freeze?
If they're at their prime and they taste really good, do it. You know, that used to be, we would say that for like the Concords because we've been hotter and so the Concords are ripening sooner. But it's a fallacy to let your grapes sit because many varieties would be raisins on the vine right now if birds haven't already picked them off. And so if they're ripe, pick them.
Okay. That's my answer. Thank you very much.
All right, Jim. Thanks for your call this morning. Our next texter saying, when is the best time to prune a lilac bush?
In the spring, right after it's done blooming, and don't just give it a haircut. Look on YouTube and find some videos on renewal pruning and use the renewal pruning method so that you can keep the size down, but lots and lots of blooms.
All right. Next person is asking, do we still have time to reseed the lawn? And when can we fertilize if we do reseed?
Don't do any reseeding right now because if the grass germinates, in which it probably will, it won't be able to root deep enough to protect itself from drier soils and frost heaving. And so what will happen is the ground freezes, the water expands and it actually becomes quite crusty and lumpy. Mm-hmm. And as it lifts up, the grass isn't rooted deeply enough to resist that and it kills it. Okay. And so if they want to seed this fall, wait till late October or early November when we're consistently below 55 degrees. That seed will sit there until spring and just kind of germinate on its own a little bit sporadically through late March into mid-April.
Okay, next texter says they're looking for a 15-foot-tall specimen tree to go in a perennial bed. They'd like summer color. It's in full sun with no wind protection, and they're thinking a crepe myrtle tree. And will they grow here?
Someone's from out of state.
Uh-oh.
No, they won't, unless you live in St. George or maybe Moab. I wouldn't do
it. Warm enough, long enough?
No, they die to the ground every year. Neil, they turn into kind of a scrawny bush usually and just slowly peter out over 5 or 6 years. So there's a few around. I know that I'm having people like, oh, I know of one. Well, what about the other 99 that died is my question. And so if they're looking for something like that, that gets her up to around 15 feet, I would probably look at maybe Rose of Sharon in a tree form. Mm-hmm. Or there's some really beautiful weeping cherries or some crab apples that will stay small that have persistent fruit that are a different look than crepe myrtle. They have spring flowers, but the weeping form is the ornament to them.
Okay, so if they live in St. George and they're texting from there, then it's okay, but otherwise no.
Oh yeah. Plant okay. away if you're in St. George or the, you know, down in that area. Or maybe if you have a hardy form in Moab, but otherwise, stay away.
All right, let's take a break for the bottom of the hour news. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.